Well, we're in this portion of Scripture where God's bringing judgment upon Babylon. Chapter 17, as we saw, was the judgment of religious and political Babylon, its complete demise, as we saw last week. And verse 16 was the key. You remember this was represented, this religious Babylon was represented worldwide ecumenicalism, the worldwide church. One world church that will be formed after the rapture of the true church to heaven. And throughout chapter 17, the woman representing religion, worldwide religion, she is seen riding upon the beast, that 10-nation federation and Antichrist. She is riding it. She's dominating it up until verse 17. And most take this to be the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then you come to verse 16, and the 10 horns, that European commonwealth that Antichrist rises up out of, and the beast, these will hate the harlot, the religious leader, will make war and desolate her, and naked, they'll eat her flesh, they'll burn her up with fire. So this marriage of church and state will come to a horrible end, as it always does throughout history. You can look at wherever there's a wedding of church and state. State always, the political power always eventually dominates and kills the religious leader and uses them just for a period of time and for a purpose. And here we see the end of Babylon in much the same way, where it will, the religion around the world, this ecumenicalism, will bring the world together and tell everyone to worship the beast until, I believe, the midpoint of the tribulation, which most take this to mean, and then she will be burned up. And chapter 18 that we're going to look at this morning outlines the downfall and destruction of commercial Babylon. This is the final form, and we talked a little bit about this last week. Will Babylon be rebuilt on the Euphrates over there? Sure, a lot of attention over there, isn't there? Some take that it will, that the few ruins, the few bricks that Saddam Hussein started erecting over there, that Antichrist will come in and complete that and rebuild commercial Babylon there. And we've talked about this. It could be down the Gulf a little bit in that other place that's being raised up over there. Dubai. That certainly could be Babylon. People, money's pouring in, billions of dollars from all over the world. Everyone wants their own little condo on their own island. And they're building and just erecting that like nobody's business. Really, we don't know. commentators differ over this and say, well, it could be, it's representative, symbolic of commercialism, America, Europe. So those are the basic two views. But Babylon is the name that God gives to this worldwide religion, that you remember it began all the way back. Babylon, as we saw last week, is described as both a city and a system, just like Wall Street or Hollywood stands for both a place and a system. Those names are, it's very symbolic. You say Wall Street, we think commercialism or commercial center. What did the terrorists of 9/11 think? Hit them in Wall Street, hit them in their capital, hit them in some of these key places and completely take them out. You remember Babylon began with Nimrod, didn't it? It was that bringing together of man in one tongue and one purpose, one religion, and they built the tower. They said, we will build a tower into the heavens in Genesis chapter 11. And they built that tower, and God came down and confused their languages, Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And then you get a play on words with the word Babel, which means confusion. God confused their languages and divided up into different, I believe, people groups and tongues and dispersed man like he had commanded them to be dispersed. And Nimrod, being a mighty hunter, his wife, Semiramis, she gave birth to a child conceived by the gods. And then you have all this false religion that was attached to this first Babylonian system, and eventually it was adopted into the Catholic Church. And so many of the practices, the Virgin Mother with child on the Christophers that so many wear, all of that goes all the way back to the first Babylonian system and back to the Tower of Babel. where man unified was in rebellion against God. Well, here we're going to end up right back in the same place. God's people have been removed from the earth. Antichrist comes to power with this religious leader that brings him into power. First 3.5 years, everything seems to be pretty peaceful. Religion is flourishing on the earth. The health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, it's there. Everyone's happy until the midpoint of the tribulation, and then she will be killed, verse 16. Vision of religious Babylon that we looked at last week, Revelation 17. And the 10-nation federation and the beast will hate the harlot, the world church, and will destroy her. So the woman representing the church that's riding on the beast in this 10-nation federation, she seems to be dominant over Antichrist and over the 10-nation federation. And they use her for, Antichrist will use her, the church, this religious leader, for his purposes. The false church, the ecumenical worldwide church, for his purposes. And then at the midpoint of the tribulation will destroy her. And then we come into chapter 18, the destruction of commercial Babylon. After these things, so chronologically, chapter 18 comes right after 17, doesn't it? The destruction of this first form of Babylon, the religious form, it seems. After these things, he saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. So this angel is... thank you, Dennis. So this angel is glorious. Some commentators take this to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we're told in many portions of Scripture that angels themselves are brilliant, radiant, glorious. When an angel would show up with different prophets, what would they do? They'd cover up. They'd hide from them because of their brilliance. They reflect the Shekinah glory of God. And this angel here, as so many in the book that we've seen, is called here having great authority. And the earth was illumined. The earth just lit up with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird." So here, Babylon ultimately has been the dwelling of demons throughout history. It's the complete opposition to God and God's righteousness, holiness, and standards upon the earth. And this seems to be Satan central. Here, Babylon. It has always represented that, and it continues to represent that, I believe, even to this day. But here in this final form, Babylon the Great, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, this angel now is going to announce the final demise. We've looked at the fall in 17 of religious Babylon, and now we're going to look at commercialism and all that Babylon is represented in being against God, anti-God. It's a religion of humanism, and it's a religion of Satan, to be sure. Everything in opposition to God. "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." This is commercialism. This is materialism. Humanism at its very best. The exaltation of man above God. Not that there's anything wrong with having something to wear or a nice home to live in, a car to drive, but it's when you leave God out of your life and equation and all you live for is stuff. That is the world system, and that is certainly our Western system, isn't it? It's got us in a real pickle now. Mortgage scandals, bank scandals, bond scandals, scandals everywhere. No money. I was watching Springfield. They're all fighting up there. They don't have any money to fund the police and firemen pension fund. They got to have another tax. Imagine that. What are they doing with all the money? What's wrong with their pension? Well, bad investments. You know, we hear this all over the place now. Governments, local governments, in trouble. Might be. You never know.
You know it was.
They're saying that so many that historically, bonds were safe. Wasn't it always put your money in bonds, right? AAA bonds, AA plus bonds. Now they're saying that the bond fund brokers that invest their money, they all invested in the mortgages too because there was so much, it looked so lucrative and so much money to be made. Now there's no money behind the bonds. Well, what's behind the bonds? Well, the paper. So I don't know, we're in for a real shocker here. The whole world is. But don't worry, Antichrist will have all the answers. Do you think we'll see him before we get to go?
Yeah. No.
No? Yes? No? I think we're living in exciting days. My daughter Lisa says, well, I hope the Lord sure fulfills this thing pretty soon, because for 10 years, to all my friends, I've been a prophet of doom. this got to come to pass to live moderately, to live godly, instead of just charging it and buying and going crazy like so many of her friends have done. She said, I sure hope the Lord will redeem us soon, because I'm starting to look like a real nut, a real nut to everybody. I like this here. Babylon in verse 2 will become a dwelling place. She has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of unclean spirits, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Remember back in chapter 13, birds in the Bible typically represent what? Let me ask it that way first. Evil. They typically represent evil. If you go back to the parables, and especially Matthew 13, where Jesus told the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed by the roadside, and the birds of the air came and immediately ate it up. Well, then he answers over in verse 19 of Matthew 13, and he says that the birds represent Satan. So Satan himself, this hateful, dirty bird, is going to end up here in this destruction of Babylon as well in verse 2. And the reason that all the nations are going to fall is because they have drunk of the wine of her passion, her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. As I read through these verses this week, it really spoke to me about our financial crisis, the mortgage scandal. How closely you've followed that, but they say that from the loan officer in the bank that was pushing the loans, they didn't care if what you were saying was true or not. They didn't look at it very closely. Why? They're going to get their commissions. I heard another voice from out of heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. Come out of her, my people. God has a standard. And even here at the very end, in the tribulation, when he's about to bring on this final judgment on commercial Babylon, for those that have been saved during the tribulation, he's calling them out. He's calling them out from participating in this commercial Babylonian system. And I think even applicationally, spiritual application, we would apply this to ourselves. Don't go the way of all the rest of the people getting their mortgage. That's how this applied to me personally this last year. Don't do it, Chuck. Don't do it. So, yeah, back to Richard's question. From what I can see, everybody's guilty. From the people falsifying their paperwork, saying they make $60,000 a year when they only make $20,000, where I've seen a lot of them. So it's just ethics and morals in our country have just fallen apart at every level. And everybody has gone in and tried to have part of it. And so what God is saying here to his people, to my people, to Christians, to those who are being saved, to those of us saved today that are part of this commercial Babylon, is all around us today. We live in it. We trade and travel and traffic in it. But God would say to us, come out, don't participate in their evil deeds. So there's nothing wrong with capitalism, and we all have to make a living. We live in this world, but we're not to be of the world, are we? So when we become taken over by these same evil practices, that's what he's saying here, don't participate in her sins. And we all know where the line is. We know what sin is. And if we pray about it, if we pray about all things, we can ask God, and sometimes he'll say, go forward with this, and sometimes he'll say, don't do it. Let it go, don't. But we don't, that is a mark, I think, for us guys of a spiritual man that seeks God and asks him about every decision we make, rather than going forward in our own boastful, prideful way, then we have become a part of commercial Babylon. We are just as guilty, and God says, come out of her. To these that are alive during the tribulation, we've seen in earlier chapters, don't take the mark. Stand until the end. You will die. These folks here in the tribulation, they will die for their testimony. But God says, you stay true to me because you will immediately receive your reward. And here he's calling them out. Do not participate in their sins that you may not receive their plagues. Most commentators would, at this juncture, take you over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. where we're commanded. Paul commands the Corinthians to be separated from evil. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial, or Satan? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from the midst of them, and be ye separate, says the Lord." Be holy, be separate, is what he says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
And he says the same thing in verse 4, don't he?
Yes, he does. That's what he's saying here.
Exactly what he's saying. What Corinthians was that?
2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. So in every generation, in our day, come out from amongst them. There's always pressure on us as Christians, especially Christian businessmen. There's pressure to go into business with unbelievers because it's lucrative. The money can be made. I had an opportunity. I could have either gone to Dallas Seminary, or I could have put my house, could have taken out a note, a loan on my house, and went into a business venture with the number one tuna fisherman that there's ever been. And he was buying a boat, a fabulous tuna boat. And this guy, every 2 to 3 weeks, this guy's back with a load of tuna. I mean, it was a multi-million-dollar proposition, but he needed capital. There was just a few of us that he wanted me to go as his engineer and put up a few a few hundred thousand dollars. He was putting up $500,000, would have given us this boat. Man, I wanted to do that so bad. I don't care what the Lord says or my wife. And she took me to 2 Corinthians 6. You can't do it. You can't do it. I don't care how much fish he catches. You can't do it. And I didn't do it. It comes to us at different times in different forms, and we need to, as Daryl said, be prayed up, be in the Word every day so that we can be discerning and ask God every day to direct our day rather than ourselves. That's what it always gets back to on a daily basis. Who's in charge, me or the Holy Spirit? And who am I living for, me or the glory of Jesus Christ? That's the rub. It's tough. Verse 5. I love verse 5 here. See if you catch this symbolism. For her sins, the sins of Babylon, have piled up as high as heaven. What do you think that's referring to? It refers us right back to the Tower of Babel. Sin by sin, pictured brick by brick, building this tower of defiance to God. That's what Babylon represents. That's what Babylon does. Even we as Christians in Christ that have been forgiven, if we live our lives for ourselves and reject what God has to say and go for the super-duper mortgage and go for the business partnership with this godless super tuna fisherman, we get more commercial, more stuff, but what's it going to do for us in the end? We can't take it with us. It's going to cause us misery here and now. We aren't going to be a witness for Christ, even though we attempt to. Well, I'm going to share Jesus with the rest of the men. You pollute yourself. And here, her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. As you go back there and read about the Tower of Babel, God came down to see what was going on. And what was God's command? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So mankind was in rejection and rebellion. They said, no, we aren't going to follow God and his mandate. We're going to follow Nimrod, the mighty hunter, and stick together here with him. We're all one common people, one commercial system, one language. Life is good here at Babel. Why should we do what God wants us to do? So he comes on down here, sins. God will remember her iniquities. He will pay her back as she has paid and given back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, he will mix twice as much for her. This is the law of retribution that's found throughout the Old Testament. In Old Testament lands, even outside of the Bible, this was the law of lex talions. You cut off a finger, you put your hand up here, we'll cut your finger off. You put out an eye, put out your eye. It's called lex talions, payment in kind. Galatians 6, 6 and 7 talks about, for the Christian, know this, O man, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, so shall you reap. If you sow to your flesh corruption and sin, from your flesh you shall reap discipline from God, judgment for us as believers. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you live your life for God, to the Spirit, you're going to reap spiritual blessings from God. And I share this with Christians. I share Galatians 6:6-7 in counseling with Christians, and you know, wanting to go, they're off course and they want to keep going off course, and you share that with them, and they say, "I don't care." Well, then what are you wasting my time for? Go get your beaten. Go ahead and go get beat up if you aren't going to listen. This is the Word of God, and this will happen to you. Yes, but it just looks so good. And this is all fresh in my own heart and life and experience this past year with what we've gone through. I don't care. I don't care. So God says that you will get it back. And here, he's giving back now double according to the deeds of Babylon, that which she has mixed. He will mix twice as much up for her, twice as much suffering. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree he shall give her back torment and mourning. For she has said in her heart, "I sit as queen and I am not a widow. I shall never see mourning." And so here the queen, Babylon, representing the queen of immorality and commercialism, it won't ever come to an end. It will continue on. It will continue on. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have anything to worry about. But in verse 8, God says, "For this reason, because of all that she has done, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence, mourning, famine. She will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong." This reminds us of Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar's feast. He's surrounded outside by the Media-Persian army, are trying to bust in. They've been there for months trying to get in. They can't get in. And so inside, in depression, what do? Get the dancing girls and call for a party. Bring in the wine. And so he's partying. And everything was going along pretty well until in his drunkenness he called for the goblets that were taken from the temple and stored in their temple and treasury. He called for those to be brought. And when they brought the articles from God's temple and brought them to his table and put wine in them and started feasting, a hand showed up and wrote on the wall, "Many, many tickle you furum. You've been weighed in the balances of God and found wanting. This very night you shall be judged." And he was swept away that night. They broke in. They got in. They came. They had diverted in the months that they were spending. They were trying to bust in the walls, but they also dug a new channel. And at the time that Darius, the commander, ordered it, they busted down the wall, diverted the river. His troops marched right in underneath Babylon that very night and took the city. They fell in 1 hour. A city, the walls were 100 feet high. The walls were so thick that four chariots could race around the top of those walls abreast. A huge city, magnificent city. But when God said, in one single day it will fall, Daniel chapter 5, it fell. So it is with commercial Babylon today. America, didn't we, just a few years ago in our lifetime, weren't we the greatest nation on earth? And today we're a laughingstock. Canada's money is worth twice as much as ours. Foreign countries now, they don't even want our money. When you go on eBay or something, you got to convert your money to buy anything anymore. They don't want our dollar. And this is getting worse. And I saw it face-to-face last year in Budapest, in Hungary. I wanted to buy one of those Russian commander's hats, winter cap. And they had the equivalent of $50 on it. So I offered the guy $25. And he laughed at me. He laughed at me. And he said, I don't even want your dollars. He said, it's $50. And I don't even want your U.S. dollars. Do you have any other currency? I said, no, I just got dollars. He said, well, it's $50 if you want it. And so then I bought it, and it had the Russian cross-sickles logo thing on it. And so after I bought it off of him, I was taking it and looking at it, and he said, and he handed me a bag after he had my money. He handed me a bag, and he said, you don't want to be wearing that around here. Best put it in the bag. you could lose your head. I said, thank you very much. So in a single day, just as Babylon was destroyed, this future Babylon shall be destroyed. She will be burned up with fire. So this queen, in all of her glory, ruling over the earth, commercial Babylon, all the money, all the wealth, and we read about her wealth here, and we're going to read some more about it as in these next verses. In chapter 17, we read about all the wealth that the woman possessed, all the wealth that the Church of Rome possessed, this final Antichrist ecumenical worldwide church. All of that wealth will transfer to commercial Babylon, and we're going to read more about it. She took all the wealth and controls all the wealth, but she'll be burned up in one day. And if you look at the last part of, let's look at a few verses here. Three times there's going to be a reference here in verse 10. Babylon, the strong city, at the very end of verse 10. For in 1 hour her judgment has come. Verse 17. In 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. Verse 19, very end. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Three times in a single hour. She will be gone. And you say, how in the world could judgment come so quickly like that to an entire world system, to a commercial Babylonian world system? And three times here it's emphasized it will come to an end. And I believe it's going to come to an end in verse 21. A strong angel will take up a stone like a great millstone and throw it into the sea, which I believe is representative of the peoples and multitudes, and here representative of Babylon. And this great city will be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. It'll happen in 1 hour. She will be gone. And that's the climax of the judgment section of the book of Revelation. And we're going to come back and pick a few more things apart here. But next week, we'll look at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of this judgment that we've been tracking through this book is all about judgment, isn't it? It is judgment that is given out by the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the world did not want to receive. He is the King of glory. And after judging this Antichrist world system and the world filled with rebellious people, and even in the midst of all the judgment during that 7-year tribulation period, he'll be calling out a people for his own, won't he? And he'll be taking them. They'll be dying martyrs, be put to death for their testimony of Christ, but he will receive them. And then at the end of this horrible judgment, which we've read about earlier, you remember that seventh vial? I think the seventh vial fits in here. When that seventh vial is poured out upon the earth, that's it. It's toast. It's over. And we looked at the cataclysmic judgments of God that will come upon this earth, and then Christ shall return. When we think about all this, Ludwig Meander, who died in 1966, this was a German artist. Just look at these pictures for a moment and look at his apocalyptic, these are called his apocalyptic landscapes. He put his feelings of what was to come to this this world on canvas. And just look at these. I've just downloaded a few of them. He has a bunch of them. But here's just a few. And we're talking about the destruction of this world, and the commercialism that's represented by this world, the destruction of Babylon from heaven. Remember the meteor showers, these judgments are being poured out from heaven upon a Christ-rejecting earth. And you look at men scrambling in just total devastation. Old Ludwig, I think, depicted it pretty well. Men just in agony, shaking their fists towards heaven. In verses 9 to 10, we look at the lament of the kings of the earth who were in bed with Antichrist, that were in bed with Babylon. It's the commercialism of the world. I get so sick, I can't even stand to watch. I heard it this week with my own ears for the first time, and I almost threw up. They were pressing Osama, what's his name? Barack Obama. Yeah. Barack. They were pressing Barack on his Christian belief. And I heard him say it, and I just made me sick. He said, I'm a Christian. I pray to Jesus every day. And I said, you stinking lying dog. You know, and yet people are just embracing this guy and pushing him forward. I am a Christian. I pray to Jesus every day. I heard it with my own ears the night before on the world news when they were pressing him in an interview. Well, the politician, they'll say anything. Hillary's a good Christian, too. The kings of the earth, they're going to lament here in verse 9. Those who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her, they're going to weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Barack and the big mansion that crook from Chicago up there bought him, the big mansion. Oh, it's clean. I didn't do anything wrong. The Clintons, they're just turkey farmers, you know, that passed legislation in Arkansas and let the turkey poop run in all the creeks and put in turkey plants everywhere. The whole state stunk to high heaven, but they made millions. Now they're multi-millionaires. The politicians, they live sensuously with the Babylonian commercial system. But the day's coming when they're going to weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They're going to weep. They will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." It's because of these specific references to a city and judgment coming upon the city, with others drawing back and separating themselves from the city. It's for that reason that so many, Charlie Dyer, the former president of Dallas Seminary, so many take the view that Babylon shall be rebuilt. And we say, how in the world, with all the fighting over there, could that be rebuilt? Oil. It can be rebuilt because of oil. Iraq has the capability of pumping a couple million barrels of oil through their pipeline to the Gulf right there, straight into the ships. And I think that they're going to end up with all the oil, them and Israel. I think there's going to be a geological shift, and I don't know, God can do that, but they're going to discover oil, more oil in Israel than in Babylon. That's why they're going to come against Israel with the battles of Armageddon, the different phases. But this oil is going to show up over there, and they're going to be after it. But this great city, this strong city, in 1 hour, judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. So this is an ancient ship, but today we would see the big super tankers, wouldn't we, that carry the cargoes of the world to and fro. Well, Babylon seems to be representative of the one that is in charge of the buying and selling of the cargoes of the earth, the cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, all the stuff our gals love, right? The stuff we know to buy them for Christmas, and purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every article of ivory, every article made from costly wood. These are all the costly panelings and planks that we put down in our hardwood floors today. Bronze faucets, polished bronze and chrome and stainless steel, marble and granite. Man, I get convicted when I read this. I just put down granite and stuff and granite countertops. And boy, these are all the luxuries. And you read something like this, you just go, oh, no. Not what we were raised with, not what I grew up in, a little tiny house with five of us in that little tiny two-bedroom house. We didn't have any of this stuff in that house. But we had good lobster to eat every night and fresh fish. And we had it made when I was a kid. We didn't have all the stuff, though, that we have today. Houses are so big today, you can't even heat the stupid things. Energy costs are going up. But all this good stuff we put in our houses, and then we can't even heat it. Cinnamon, spice, incense, perfumes, verse 13, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots, and slaves in human lives. People will once again be traded like chattel. Their bodies and souls would be sold. They will be totally possessed. Slavery still goes on all over the world, doesn't it? And it will become much more prominent as we move towards the end. The mortgage crisis, you just think about that. You know, a lot of people will be willing to sell their soul to hold on to their house. You hear some of these folks and their stories. And the fruit, verse 14, and the fruit you long for has gone from you. And all the things that were luxurious and splendid, they passed away from you. Men shall no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her, they will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster, every passenger, every sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance They were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like the great city?" They threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste." Three times that judgment is pronounced. It is certain. It is coming. It will be from God's hand, and it will be immediate. He'll completely take them out. And then we're called, there's rejoicing in verse 20, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints, apostles, and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her." So all of those that are in heaven that have suffered throughout history under the Babylonian commercial system, under religious apostasy, all of those of the Inquisition, all the apostles who've been killed, all of the prophets who were killed, they're in heaven with God, and God tells them, look down now upon earth. I'm going to enable you to see what judgment has come upon your enemy. Now rejoice. And a strong angel took up a millstone, a great stone, and cast it into the sea, which I take as a symbolic representation of Babylon. And the great city will be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. The sound of harpists, musicians, flute players, trumpeters, they shall not be heard in you any longer. No craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill shall not be heard grinding. There'll be no more grinding. It'll just completely be put out. The light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom and bride, marriage, which is a symbol of joy and blessing, it will be no more. Your merchants, your great men of the earth, because of all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, they will be no more. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain upon the earth. The total devastation of the commercialism of the world, the Babylonian system represented once again, I think, by a city that will be rebuilt over there or somewhere. We don't know for sure. This sells books, sells commentaries on this question. Ultimately, we don't know, but there will become a final destruction of all the commercialism of the earth that has come upon us, has been around since the beginning, but now more pronounced than ever, and it will become more pronounced yet as the days move forward.